U.S. Senator Rob Portman, in a previous life at another radio station, I interviewed him often and had called his office up and wanted to find out what was going on locally, because there was an announcement yesterday made about 1,500 potential new jobs over at Lordstown.
Yes.
And with all the bad news we've had, I thought, well, let's get some good news. And so on the phone waiting for us patiently is U.S. Senator Rob Portman. Gary and Lindsay on Mix 98.9. We are talking right now with U.S. Senator Rob Portman, who I know is just got to have the busiest schedule on the planet. First of all, welcome to the Mix 98 morning show. Rob, we appreciate that, Senator.
Well, Gary, it's always great to be on with you and Lindsay, and thanks for what you're doing every day and getting the word out as to what people should do to stay safe and, you know, just letting people know what's happening on the COVID-19 front.
All right. Before we get to that, I have to ask about the new GM and Honda venture planned for Lordstown. That just, for me, it came out of the blue. What's the story with that, and how are you involved?
Well, this is fantastic. LG Chem, you know, which is a Korean company, and General Motors decided to put this battery plant really right next to the Lordstown plant. And that's now a done deal. They're talking to me about 1,200 jobs, maybe being able to expand that to double that many jobs over time. What we just learned recently was that Honda and General Motors have another joint venture, Honda being a Japanese company, to produce electric cars. And guess what? They're going to use the batteries that are produced at this battery plant. So that's why it's big news, because now they've got a built-in customer, and they're still saying 1,200 jobs, but it could be even more than that. So it's great news for the Valley, and we need some good news.
We do.
We sure do. And I appreciate that and all the work that you're doing now behind the scenes. This is something that I guess has been on my mind for a while. You know, Republicans by nature, you don't like to spend a lot of government money. You're really careful on that. But we just signed a $2 trillion package. How did that happen in your mind? And what went through your mind as you were signing that yourself?
Amazement, because it's, you know, it's bigger actually than all of the discretionary spending in one year. You know, about 30% of the budget is now discretionary spending that Congress appropriates. The rest of it is kind of on autopilot, you know, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, interest on the debt. But it's bigger than what Congress just appropriated in for all the departments and agencies and programs. So it's a lot of money. But you know what? I supported it because we need it right now as a rescue in order to get back on track and get the revenue coming back in. And some of it is loans that will be paid back. Some of it is also short-term tax relief that later comes back to benefit, because, as an example, people don't have to pay their payroll taxes if their employers, small, medium, or large, during this year, but then they have to pay that back in the next 2 years. So some of it does come back into the Treasury. But we needed a rescue, Gary, because we have the healthcare crisis, obviously, that had to be addressed, which is the single most important thing for us to focus on, because until we fix that problem, the rest of the problems aren't going to go away. And then second, it infected our economy. So we have a free fall in our economy as we haven't ever experienced in our lifetimes. This is worse than 08, 09. It's worse than 9/11. And you see it, as I know you do in the Valley every day, with these small businesses who've had to shut their doors, people who are, you know, out of work for the first time in their lives through no fault of their own. And so it was necessary to do something to just rescue folks for now, get people through this storm, and then hopefully within a month or so, we'll be able to get back on track.
I'm hearing rumors that the president may be looking at another additional dollars for a bailout.
Well, what the president is talking about is in the next stage of this, I think we should do two things. One, we should close any gaps there are. I just got off the phone with a bunch of mayors and commissioners and hospital folks. And, you know, there are some real needs out there. We got to be sure our, you know, our public safety personnel, for instance, you know, are going to stay out on the street. Our police officers and our EMS are going to continue to help us, particularly during this crisis. So there are some needs out there. So you got to look at that. Have we filled every gap for the short term? But then what the president is talking about is over the longer term here, how do we get this economy back up and going again? And one idea he has is that with interest rates being so low, let's borrow some money to pay for infrastructure improvements, roads, bridges, ports, stuff that would actually create more jobs right away, but also mid and long term would help the economy. And I think that may make some sense, along with some other specific stimulus to help some of these businesses get back on their feet, because we all want to get back to normal. And getting back to normal means, you know, sending our kids back to school again, being able to go to restaurants and bowling alleys and theaters and stuff. But it also means getting people back to work so that we can continue to have revenue coming in for every level of government, you know, municipal, county, state, federal. And so that's what the president's talking about. And I think that's a good idea. But let's first get through this crisis.
And Senator Portman, I was just wondering, you did a lot of the groundwork to be able to get the disaster household distribution program going again here in Ohio through the Department of Agriculture. How does that affect families right here in the Valley?
Well, it gives them the opportunity to step up and, you know, get a little help for including small businesses. But this one in particular was about the food banks and about the need for us to be able to supplement people who are getting the school lunch program, as an example, kids,
yes.
People who are finding themselves, you know, in a real problem because they got no income coming in.
They're for the first
home.
Time.
They're doing what they're supposed to do, social distancing, but they've applied for unemployment insurance. They're waiting to hear from that. They haven't gotten their check yet from the federal government. They literally are looking for food. So this lets the programs, the SNAP programs, food stamp programs, be getting a little more help and to be able to be a little more convenient in terms of where people can go to pick up food. I'm told, for instance, throughout Ohio right now, and I've talked to the food banks and trying to help them, the pantries, that their needs are greater than ever as people are just, you know, a lot of people are just stuck. They got no job, they got no income, and yet they're not getting the help yet that is coming in this legislation. In a couple of weeks, that will be better because certainly within a week and a half, most people, I think, will have that check in the mail from these direct payments, which will help kind of a bridge. And then over the next few weeks, I think the unemployment system will start to be able to respond. Right now, it's just overloaded, Lindsay.
Yeah,
and that's what we're seeing. What's amazing to me is watching how the government is reacting, but moving rather quickly. Like you worked with the Department of Veterans Affairs for extending benefits for the veterans because it's all that red tape. How do you clear all those hurdles?
Yeah. Well, VA had not changed their policies, and they weren't giving veterans the ability to get an extension on their veterans claims, as an example. Mm-hmm. And so we're just asking for more flexibility. And I was fortunate, actually with Sherrod Brown, I sent a letter to the VA. We talked to them, explained the situation we're hearing about in Ohio with a lot of veterans, you know, in this current situation, not being able to process their claims, not being able to go to the VA, among other things, where a lot of people like to do that. So they were flexible enough to be able to extend those deadlines. And that's just what we all need to do right now. I'm urging all the private sector folks, you know, the banks, you know, be generous here. Don't just focus on your best customers. If anybody applies for one of these small business loans, help them get through this. Mm-hmm. We all have a role to play. And, you know, with regard to flexibility, you know, the federal government isn't always known for that, Gary. it's a little stiff. And you probably saw with Gojo, for instance, you know, they have a 25% tariff on two of their products that they need to make these dispensers that we all want more hand sanitizer now. And so we went to the federal government and said, hey, you know, to the U.S. Trade Representative job I used to have and said, give us a little flexibility here. Take down that 25% for now. We don't want consumers paying that, which is what's happening. It was also limiting supply somewhat. So we got that done, too. So there's some things that are happening that wouldn't normally happen at the federal government level, which is good to see.
Well, one thing that I'm seeing that I really enjoy watching, you and Sherrod Brown work together a lot. And in this case, you seem to be on the same page in a lot of things. And I know we don't always see that across the aisle working like that. Is this coronavirus thing really helped bring us bridge that gap?
I mean, our focus is Ohio, and we're going to differ on the big issues, as you know. You mentioned spending earlier, taxes, whatever. But our job is to work together for the people of Ohio, and I'm proud of that. And, you know, we'll continue to do that. We are in a crisis right now, but we should always do that. I mean, when there's an issue that affects Ohio, it doesn't need to be a partisan issue. So much of what, you know, Ohioans need from the federal government is not about party politics. It's about ensuring that you know, Ohio gets its fair share. Be sure that our, as an example, in the Valley, we have the YARS, the Youngstown Air Reserve Station. We've got to be sure that that's supported. So we work together on that. And we've been very successful in, you know, keeping federal funding going there and making sure it has a mission that is respected and continues to be utilized. So there are issues like that, issues like trade. We've been able to work together to try to ensure that when China is illegally dumping product, selling it below its cost, that, you know, a company and workers can take them to court and get a higher tariff on those products so that it's a level playing field. So there are things that can and should be done in a bipartisan way, and we should look for more opportunities like that in our country.
And one thing that is kind of alarming here that's been developing is the Elkton Federal Prison, that there seemed to be an outbreak there, that there was talk that there were possibly new prisoners coming in. What can you speak to that about?
Well, it's a great, great question. Elkton is a federal prison. It's actually a place where, unfortunately, there's been a hot spot, where mm-hmm. there have been a number of prisoners who were positive tested, and unfortunately a few prisoners actually lost their lives because of this COVID-19 virus. So my role there was to call the Bureau of Prisons and say, hey, stop sending new prisoners to Elkton Federal Prison. Let's not send anybody there. And they agreed to that. Also to try to get some more help there in terms of medical assistance. I applaud Governor DeWine for allowing the Ohio National Guard to go and help them mm-hmm. with regard to the immediate health care needs. But there's also a federal role here with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers helping to set up essentially a healthcare triage program there, where you help the people immediately who have the symptoms and then separate out those who don't. So I think it's much better now, but boy, that was a tough one. And working with mm-hmm. state level and the federal level, I think we've improved the situation at least.
Well, Senator Portman, I know your time is short. You've got a lot of meetings ahead of this or after this, but thank you so much for joining us and sharing this information with us. I know there's a lot of things going on in unprecedented times, are they not?
Well, they are for sure. And thank you, Lindsay and Gary, for what you're doing every day and getting the word out. As I said earlier, it's important that you're telling people, you know, how to use these programs, but also just keeping them up to speed. We'll get through this, and I think we'll come through it strong. I really do. And good news, like the battery plant, being chosen by Honda and GM, we've got to continue to bring the good news to the Valley, too, and to get back on our feet. I hope in a few months you and I have a cell phone conversation on the air where we're talking about all the great things that are going on in the Valley. So thanks for what you're doing, and be safe.